Good morning. Well, a few people will probably get a kick out of this, but I'm going to start with a knock-knock joke. So I'm going to need a little help. Does everybody know how this works? Okay. Knock-knock. Abby. Happy New Year! I wish I could make a resolution about bad jokes, but I think we all know it wouldn't work out. So, New Year's is a time when many reminisce about the things we're grateful for from the past year. Here at Grace, I'm thankful for people serving in so many ways, from the announcements to prayer, our music team. Oh, they disappeared. Special events, missions, the food after the service. I particularly like the food. Kids ministry and so many other things that I'm failing to mention. I apologize for those who are serving. We have volunteers that upgrade and repair the building, and Pastor Wes, who has done so many wonderful sermons and worked so hard for us. Others are looking forward, making resolutions to work on spiritual growth or refocus on things that will improve their lives. Some of those will be realistic and may happen. Many resolutions, even with the best of intentions, will fall short. I'm sure we've all been there. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Many times these struggles involve our relationships with God and with other people. I hope today's sermon will help us all to consider what we're thankful for and how we can also take steps to grow in our walk with our Savior and with each other here at Grace. Let us take a look at what God's Word has to say about friendship and how we can protect this precious gift. Have you ever had a really interesting friend? Some friends are full of great stories. The best stories can even be told many times because they capture our imagination, right? One close friend of mine tells a story about walking down the street in New York City with his mom as a 5-year-old little boy, and he saw some bubble gum on the sidewalk. Used bubble gum, by the way. I never tire of hearing how he picked that gum up and put it in his mouth, or what happened afterwards with his mother. That's how I learned the meaning of ABC gum. Other friends are full of great advice, and they help keep us on track in life. One time I went out to breakfast with a friend, and he stopped at the florist afterwards to get his wife some flowers. There was no special occasion. I was inspired, and so I got my wife some too. These moments can help us reset our compass and remember the hopes and dreams that we once had. Some friends never let you down. Recently, I was sick in bed for more than a week, and my wife Christine patiently took care of me without complaining. She has proven how good of a friend she is more times than I can count. How blessed are we when we have a friend that's got it all, right? A great storyteller, confidant, and always there for you. God can be that friend for us when we're willing to give him our time and study his word. I've always enjoyed stories about David, and I really appreciated our recent sermon series on David as well. He was called a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect. He sought God in prayer, and he also took very practical steps to implement God's plans. I'm pretty practical, so you know I can relate to that. Like the stories about David, the advice found in the book of James feels very practical and hands-on, and it always ends up being my go-to whenever I need God's help and reminding, which is often. As far as being a friend and never letting us down, we can never earn or measure up to the sacrificial love and grace afforded to us by our Savior when he died for our sins on the cross. He is the friend who paid the ultimate price because of his love for us. Will you pray with me now as we prepare to hear God's word? Lord God, we ask that you prepare our hearts to take a look at some ways so we can protect the precious gift of friendship. Your divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of you, who called us by your own glory and goodness. Help us, Lord, as this world seeks to pull us away from you and the life you have for us. Help us as we study your word today. I pray that you will receive my words and the meditations of all of our hearts as we seek to glorify you here. Help us to remember your word and put it into practice as we share the light of your love with a world that's very much in need. Amen. Please open up your Bibles or phones, Bible apps, etc., so we can take a deeper look. We're going to be working through James 4, starting at verse 4. Let's see here. Woohoo! Okay. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister, or judges them, speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Well, the words in James can feel very strong. They do come with a warning. However, they also come with a great deal of instruction and hope for all of us, and a way to escape the consequences found here. The recipients of this letter were most likely Jewish Christians who had scattered from Palestine and come to faith in Christ. In the days James was written, after Jesus' death, the Jews were defrauding and oppressing Christians. James urges them to live a life of sanctification in the face of this opposition. Sanctification is God's transformation of a believer's whole being, that is, our minds, our will, and our behavior through the work of the Holy Spirit. To clarify, justification is God's declaration that a sinner is righteous through the work of Jesus Christ, which we cannot earn. Justification is something God does for us, and sanctification is what God does through us. So let's get started. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? So enmity is defined as the state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. We're all sinners. The world urges us to love ourselves, putting our pleasure before God's pleasure, and it separates us from Him. One example of this is money. There's so many examples, though. We need it to pay our bills, right? However, the love of money can turn to sin. So there's a line. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." This is just one example of the sins that can trap us up and separate us from God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So I'm pretty sure none of us wants to be actively opposed to God. Hopefully. So what does it mean to be friends with the world? That's the other part. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This means our main focus shouldn't be on the things of this world, like success and our own happiness. Instead, we should focus on our God who made us and his will for our lives. Putting God first directly opposes the popular approach of this world, and it's not easy. The world always will try to pull us away from that. Using myself as an example, I need my job to support my family. I have to go to work. The company I work for pays me. They expect me to do my job, which is fine, and that's all okay in the Bible. Over the years, it's been a challenge to stay in God's Word and to pray consistently when my job has demanded more attention. Has anyone else experienced this? It's a challenge, so we're all in the same boat on that one. So, or do you think that the Scripture says, without reason, that He jealously longs for the Spirit that He has caused to dwell in us, but He gives us more grace? That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So God wants us to actively seek Him with humility. Active. We desperately need God's grace for this, because all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. It's interesting that God's jealousy is mentioned here. He wants a relationship with us, and good relationships demand our time and effort. Humility is defined as having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. Here's a similar verse that mentions pride versus humility, found in 1 Peter 5:5. "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." So in this case, interpersonal relationships are mentioned also. We're looking to clothe ourselves in humility, covering ourselves with it. Looking back on my own relationships, many issues that I've had have started with pride. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So is God saying that if we submit to him, everything's going to be perfect? and all our problems are going to go away? That would sure be nice. Many times our lives won't get easier when we follow God, because again, we do so in direct opposition to what this world tells us to value. We are called to take our cross up and follow him in obedience, which is not easy. He's saying we need to consistently seek him and resist sin and temptation. This will allow the sanctification process to change our hearts and transform us from the inside out. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughing to mourning, your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Once we make the decision to follow Christ, we start to become more and more aware of God's holiness and our sin. Our sin doesn't get worse because we're saved. We are just becoming more aware of it. So this is the slide I brought here. Figure out how. Oh, look at that. So this is the point when we're saved. So we become aware of our sinfulness. And I would say that when I was first saved, I was very aware of it. I knew that there were things that I needed to change. Sometimes it kind of gets in the way a little bit of us serving God, right? But then, as you're becoming aware of your sinfulness, you're also becoming more and more aware of God's holiness. So this gap in here is the grace that we receive. So it's not so much that the grace gets bigger. Basically, we're just becoming more and more aware of how much grace we need and how much Jesus gave for us. As we recognize this gap, we start becoming more humble. So the consequences of our sin are reason enough for mourning, right? As sin without God's grace leads to death. Death. Accepting what Jesus did on the cross for us is the only way that we can receive God's grace. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's the word humble again. The Bible has a lot to say about humility and pride. God's grace gives us a spot in heaven with our Lord that we don't deserve and could never earn. So it's important that we seek to lift him up and lift up his holy name. We should also seek to be uplifting to each other. Drawing near to God by reading his word and humbling ourselves will help us to protect our friendships as well. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So, we aren't supposed to speak against each other. What are we supposed to do then? Jesus came to love and teach others how to love. Talking about someone else's sin has an interesting effect. It makes us feel like our sin isn't as bad as the other person's sin, doesn't it? When we compare, we always try to do that, I think. At least I do. Oh, you'll never guess what that person did, right? It's dangerous ground, and it's right where the world wants us. So let's choose our words carefully and ask God to forgive our own sin. But how does this come back to godly friendship? As I thought about all of my favorite stories, even the ABC gum story, they all had one thing in common. Someone else did something embarrassing. Not me. Someone else, right? I would submit that it's very easy to speak against or slander another person, and we probably don't even do it on purpose most of the time, right? How would we feel if our own best stories were told? Even the best friendships can be ruined by a poorly chosen statement. Let's choose instead to share uplifting stories, or maybe just choose to be silent. James 4 is a warning against living our lives with the wrong motives. We're called to yearn for God and pray for our enemies. When we allow frustration or bitterness to control our thoughts and our actions, these motives pull us away from prayer and the heart attitude that God desires for us. With a show of hands, so again, we're going to participate today, who has had a frustrating experience while driving or riding in a car recently? It's got to be at least half, if not three quarters there. And nice. Over the years, I've worked to tone down my frustration in these situations. Anybody else? Well, there we go. Got one hand up again. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that, buddy. How about that traffic circle by the Kingston Thruway exit? Huh? This past week, I had somebody cut me off. You know where the two lanes merge going up towards 28 from the Thruway? Okay, so I had somebody cut me right off, got right in front of me, and as soon as they did that, they laid on the horn real hard twice, two different separate times. And, you know, I was totally in the right. I was very frustrated, but I chose not to react in anger. But what I should have done and didn't do until this morning, actually, was pray for that person to cut me off, right? We should be praying. Who knows what they're going through? You know, I don't know what some of you are going through, you know, but I do know what some of you are going through, and there's some hard things, right? So who knows? I would submit that we work hard to be known as a praying people this year, for the new year. This is a real challenge as we live amongst many who see things differently or don't know God as their Savior. We need God's word to remind us that we don't belong to this world, and our role is not to fit into it. This verse is taken from John 15, verse 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. For I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Strong word. We are called to be a light shining or a beacon of hope in this world. City on a hill, right? We just sang that this morning. The light of the world, the light on the hill. It's a beautiful thought. Matthew 5, 14 to 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So good deeds cannot save us or get us into heaven. Let's be clear on that. Only our faith in what Jesus Christ did for us, dying on the cross to save us from our sins, can do that. But our good deeds can be a light to someone who's struggling and seeking answers. 23 years ago, I was not a believer, but my wife and my brother-in-law were. They had something that seemed a lot better than what I had. I just couldn't put my finger on it. So I came to Grace Church to check it out, and I learned more about this hope that they have, and it became my hope, too. Let's see. I'm going to go back to James 5, starting at verse 7. It's a little bit further from James 4. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So what kind of seeds are we planting in this world? What kind of seeds are you planting? Are we treating others with humility? Will our walk help others seek Christ? Are we hiding our light under a bowl? Let's pray. Lord, as one year ends and another begins, I pray that we'll each examine our own hearts. Help us to be a patient people and to allow you to care for us as your own valuable crop. We are your adopted sons and daughters. Help us, Lord, to stand firm, to heed your warnings, and to choose our words carefully. Help us remember that we don't deserve your grace, yet you gave it to us freely. Help us to be a people that gives grace to each other, a people that helps and cares for one another, and a people focused on actively seeking and living out your word in our lives. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.